Our unison reading today is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 21, and begins on page 161 of the New Testament in your pew Bible. As we read, please notice that there are three shifts in this passage. Verses 1 and 2 emphasize the Holy Spirit, who is at work in the renewal of our minds. Verses 3 through 8 highlight our Christian unity, one with another. And verses 9 through 21 read like a checklist of the desirable Christian behaviors. So let us read aloud together. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as bodies of living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to you think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony one with another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals upon their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading today is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And this is found on page 194 in the New Testament of your pew Bible. This passage was also read aloud last Sunday when it was emphasized that we each are in possession of our own spiritual gifts, which are to be used in the service to God and His church. In today's lesson, we are shown that it's the responsibility of all Christians to nurture one another in faith and practice so that together we can build up the church in love. Verse 11. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament, with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So what do the following names have in common? Jerry and Caroline Coling, Newell Krogman, Greg Goodwiller, Shelley Sanders, Vicky Caro Deeth, Karen Sapio, Jean Silva, Patrick Marshall, Laura Palmer, Mary Ellison Bars, Jeremy Hall, Shelby Andrews, Lauren Scott. These 14 members of Trinity Presbyterian Church have entered the ordained ministry or Christian education vocation. Their call to ministry was fostered by the Christian nurture of this congregation, in addition to summer camps and conferences and things, but you gave them a formal Christian education and inspired them to love and serve God and neighbor. Another young man is now exploring his sense of call here at Trinity, and I have no doubt others will follow in his footsteps and their footsteps. And you think some churches never contribute anyone to the ministry. Trinity has contributed 14. That, my friends, is a testimony to your Christian nurture. This has been the arena in which they learned how to live out these Christian relationships and felt compelled to answer God's call to go and preach the gospel and share the love of Christ with other people. That is why I'm excited about our plans to refurbish our Christian education wing and equip ourselves and our TLC preschool for the next generation of those who come to know Jesus Christ in the ministry of this church, this congregation. We're going to make some long-needed repairs and updates to make our facility both appealing as well as conducive to Christian education. You're going to get a mail out this week, information about this campaign we are beginning. Our goal is to raise $85,000. I can tell you, even before we've hardly gotten started, people have already contributed $31,000. That's how exciting this can be. And so I thank our team for putting together this material that you will receive, and we'll go forward from now until March, trying this campaign to have all the funds in hand to conduct our repairs this summer and the summer of 2021. Ephesians 4:11-16 that Elliot read admonishes us to grow up, to mature, to become godly men, godly women, godly teenagers, godly children, and to help others do the same when they come in contact with us and when they come through our doors and when they experience this congregation. We're to become godly men and women, teens and children. Now, that's a high calling. It's a difficult calling, too. We cannot fulfill that call when isolated from other people. It's very hard to be a Lone Ranger Christian. We need the community of faith surrounding us and inspiring us and working with us to do the things that will bolster our faith in Jesus Christ, and we can help others do the same. Because we're all to answer three fundamental questions in life that people ask over and over and over. Who am I? That's identity. Where am I going in life? Is there any purpose in life? God has answered all three of those questions in Jesus Christ. Who am I? You're a child of God. Where am I going? You're destined for the kingdom of God in this world and in the life to come. Is there any purpose to this life? Your purpose is to live in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and with neighbor, with other human beings. You need to be in a right relationship with God through Christ to live this life he's called us to live. And the church is the arena in which we practice those relationships. And the tables on the booth in the narthex explain the various ministries that we do, that everybody has some place to belong and to experience and to contribute. And if you get in there and say, this is not mine, maybe it's this. Well, then we're helping you discover your calling all the clearer and how your gifts will match the needs of others. We strive to nurture the whole person, because Christian education is not just pouring biblical facts into your mind. It's letting the love of Christ in your heart and your soul. The whole person, from birth to grave, needs nurture. So along enhancing our Christian education programs, we need to enhance our facilities. Last summer, we updated the public bathrooms and some of the nursery and classroom on the hallway. And we'll update more this summer when the TLC, Trinity Learning Center, can close in June for a few weeks to let some things happen, and then again in August to do some reconstruction. We'll tackle the last phase in the summer of 2021. This is all outlined in the brochure you'll receive. We're going to do much needed updates, just as we did last summer, from floor to ceiling, new flooring, new light fixtures, some of which don't work, and others we were cited for them being dangerous. It's time to replace them. We will do lighting, we'll do some classroom bathrooms and fixtures, we'll do flooring and finishes, and update for new media technology in our classrooms. And if you've not walked down that hallway and looked in the classrooms, don't just walk down going to supper or going to the gym. Look in the classrooms and you'll see how badly some of these updates are needed. You'll see the pictures I took last summer of the rust in the door frames and the tiles that are broken and things that need replacing. We'll give tours on Sunday, February 2nd and 9th to show you the different rooms and what's going to be done in those rooms. And you'll see the contrast between the classrooms we've already done and those that are waiting. Then we'll come down the hallway and refurbish the hallway and put in things where it ramps and others with handrails to make them ADA compliant, to make it more usable and more accessible for those who need handicap assistance. Room 9, it's our primary Sunday school room for kindergarten, first grade. It has become cluttered with everybody else's cast-offs. It's pitiful. It's depressing. Walk in room 9 and look and say, how did we get here? We need to purge that room before rummage sale in March and begin again. Our children deserve more. They deserve the best facility, the best staff, the best program we can offer them if we're going to walk them into relationships with Jesus Christ. A visitor coming to walk in that room and say, this is where you have Sunday school? It's a mess. And so I've challenged our teams. We're going to go through every room and every closet and every storage room between now and rummage sale and purge what we don't need and start afresh. The things that we're going to retain and use, let's organize them. It's become jumbled with everybody's accumulation of things on top of things. And in some of the closets I went into, I have to move things to get to other things. It's time to refresh and do the best that we can offer. Because our call is to introduce them to Jesus Christ and help them mature and grow in a relationship with Jesus Christ. So I ask you, who introduced you to Jesus Christ? For the most part, it's someone you trusted and whom you had a relationship, Sunday school teacher, person in the church, music directors, church camps, others. It's the faith is caught from one person to the next by their example and their inspiration. So you think of the people in your life who nurtured your budding faith in Jesus Christ and taught you the ways of Christ. That's what our ministry of nurture is about. Developing a meaningful relationship with those who have the love of Christ to share. Some of you need that relationship. Some of you have that relationship to offer, and the knowledge that they have to offer, and the love of Christ that you know you have to offer. Our children and youth need you adults. You need them. And there are adults around you who need nurture as well. We all need each other. So I encourage you to get involved in some form of ministry of nurture that puts you in contact with other people so that God can use your gifts to be a blessing to them. Because our aim as elders, as members, as pastors, as participants, is to see that the body of Christ is built up and that all members of the church should arrive at perfect adulthood. We must not be content that our adults just live decent, respectable lives. Our aim should be that they have become examples of perfect Christian adulthood with knowledge and wisdom and passion to share with others. We must continue to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Some of you didn't know that hymn, but I watched a lot of you sing it without even looking at the hymnal. It's what me and our generation, we grew up hearing every Sunday in Sunday school and marching around the room and teaching and sharing the love. Tell me the old, old story. And you go through the verses, it says, from children to adults to everybody. And we come to the end of our age, we still, it will be the old, old story I'm singing in Salvation in Heaven. Our closing hymn today, I Was There to Hear Your Morning Cry. You'll see it moves from childhood to youth to adult to middle age to end of age. The Christian nurture that goes throughout in a lifetime. You're going to sing it again in our closing hymn. Because it's my conviction that across the board of everything that we do, all the programs, all the activities, all the leadership, all the organization, all the budgeting, everything that we do reflects that we are called to nurture people in the love and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not just the activity, but what does the activity invite them to experience more? We are called together for the purpose of nurturing people, especially our children and our youth, and to right relationships with God through Jesus Christ so they develop a faith they claim for their own and say, me too. I choose to believe and act this way. The story is told that during the Crimean War, Florence Nightingale was passing through a hospital ward one night, and she paused to bend over the bed of a wounded soldier. And as she bent over to check on the soldier looked up at her and said, you know, you're Christ to me. A saint has been described as someone in whom Christ lives again. That is who you are. That is who you are called to be, that others might experience in you the Savior Jesus. Who in your care is seeing that? Who in your care is learning the strength to resist temptation and the strength to live the obedient life? What you are nurturing in children and youth today is going to help them face the challenges of middle school and high school and then college. When classmates are going to challenge their Christian beliefs, their Christian values, their Christian morals. And when they're tempted to do things that are wrong, but the peer pressure to belong, to be accepted, to fit in, threatens to override their self-discipline. They need the props that we have given them, that Jesus is with them, and they can resist. Your influence, your role model, your example, your inspiration is instilling in them what it means to be and belong to Jesus, and they will look at you and say, well, if they can do it, I can do it. And I will enjoy the calming influence of a clear conscience. If these folks at Trinity can obey God, I can too. Same goes for young adults here at Trinity who are facing the demands and the challenges of our culture and peers and family and career and trying to sort it all out. They want to be successful. They want to fit in. They want to be accepted and to excel, but they are tempted by the shortcuts and the self-serving lifestyle that our culture promotes. You can bless them as mentors by showing them a better way. And say, I know, I was there in a different way, but I know what you're facing. Here's some of what we've learned from Scripture And here's what I've learned from other people who inspired me. If they could do it, I can do it, and you can do it. So you bless our children and our youth and our young adults and your peers when you invest yourself in Christian education and Christian nurture programs, developing relationships with these children to ensure that they grow in their commitment to Jesus Christ. Our children and youth need you to play a role in their development. They need to learn what the Bible says is right and wrong. They need to be held accountable to the Bible, even when we love them and forgive them and say, let's start again, you're okay. For through time and faithfulness, we will help nurture their personal relationship with God and Christ and their desire to please God. And thereby we help them to override the temptations that they face every day, just like we do. To expand our children's ministry, we're examining a program called Godly Play. Godly Play is a structured children's curriculum that uses a Montessori approach to help them explore their faith and the biblical truths through story and play. We're going to attend a workshop on February 29th, a Saturday, in Fairhope, Alabama, at a church that is using this so well. Go and learn about this program. If you're interested in learning about this, if you're interested in going with us, you can talk to Brian or to Eileen Minnery. Looking at new venues, new approaches to Christian education, to tell the old, old story in new ways. We must never lose sight of our calling to Christian nurture. No child, no youth, no adult need ever go through life alone in his or her spiritual quest or personal quest. God's people need the care and love and support of one another. And we all have collectively the gifts that our people need. And the ministries of this church, we have the gifts to do. And it needs the love and support and discipline of the whole congregation if we ever hope to grow to the fullness of Christ. Nurture involves the growth of the whole person, body, soul, mind, heart, will, throughout the stages of development from cradle role to death. We are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, Paul says, that we know what is the will of God, and thereby by sacrificing ourselves to Him, we're able to fulfill that calling. We're not to conform to this world, this age, this culture, though we all want to fit in, to be accepted by others. How is it possible not to conform? Paul says the courage not to conform and to be transformed and let the Spirit work in you is possible only for those who find their place in God through Christ and want to live their whole lives as an offering to God. Therefore, whenever you see therefore, see what it's there for. Because of all that he said in the previous chapters, because we have received Christ, because we have received the gospel, because the Spirit is at work in us, because since in Christ we have received a new identity, a new purpose, a new higher calling, we are transformed into the people who can discern what is the will of God. And what follows in Romans 12, 3 through 13, it's not so much a rule list or a checklist. Have you done this behavior? Are you doing this behavior? It's not one from column A and one from column B. He's not so much urging you, do this. Don't do that. But be who you are, transformed, invigorated people of God. Live by the Spirit of God, not by the spirit of our times. Cultural standards are not always the standards of God, and that makes it hard because our standards are higher. No chameleons. You know, you put a chameleon down on the color and it takes on that color. It changes its body. You move it from there to another color, it changes. Put them on something plaid and watch them go crazy. No chameleons. Don't try to match your life to all the fashions of this world. Don't be a chameleon that takes your color from the world choose to live above those standards for the high calling of God in Jesus Christ so that we can show the way for others and say, this is who I am. God made me, and this is who I'm striving to be for God. You don't live reactively what everybody else says or does or might say. You start to live proactively, knowing who you are and what you go to accomplish and what God is calling you to be and do, and you're living up to that God-given vision. So you don't compartmentalize your life. Well, you know, Sunday is about God and spiritual things, but Monday through Saturday is just the rest of the world. We are to be a Christian throughout the week, throughout the world. We are to present our whole lives as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Let me give you an example. If you know the name Richard Foster, he's one of these great spiritual writers. He wrote his classic Celebration of Discipline that we studied a year or two ago on Wednesday nights. All his spiritual nurture and experiences and reflections come out of his own experiences in great depth. He says that as a teenager, he spent a summer with the Eskimo people in Alaska, where he discovered that Eskimo Christians have a deep sense of the wholeness of life with no break between their prayer and their work. So Richard Foster went to Alaska to build a high school, first high school above the Arctic Circle. The work was far from adventurous, though, he said. It was hard, back-breaking work. And one day he was trying to dig a trench for a sewer line, which was no easy task in the frozen tundra. And an Eskimo man came and watched him for a while. I watched him struggle, and he said, you know, you're building that trench for God. Richard Foster thought, what? They're going to put a pipe in, it's going to be covered up, or nobody will even know it's there. Nobody will even know I was here. You're digging a trench for God. And he realized the man was sincere. Everything we do for God. And so Richard Foster said, I began to dig with all my might, and every shovelful of dirt was a prayer to God. He made the discovery that everything we do, whether it's something tiny, something small, something huge, something nobody will ever see or know, or if it's in the public, we do for the glory of God. For part of our lives, no, all of our lives belong to God. And God has gifted you with something to offer. There are no neat little compartments of our life marked secular, secular, sacred, secular, secular. It all belongs to God. We are to honor God with our entire lives. And Romans 12:4 says that the body functions best when all of the parts work together, contributing what each has to offer to the life of the other. That's true of the church as well. Everyone has been given a gift. When we share our gifts, we help one another love and serve God and love and serve neighbor. We equip ourselves to serve our community, and we fulfill our high calling to Christian nurture. Christian education is just one part of what we do here at Trinity. I believe that all of Trinity's programs, service, outreach, fellowship, congregational care, small group ministry, Living Waters for the World, Jelly Bean 5K, Run, Walk, the Rummage Sale, everything that we do is an offering to God. And we must aim toward building Christian relationships and nurturing children and youth into committed relationships with Jesus Christ, preparing them for a life of spiritual discipline. Renovating the education wing, our preschool wing, is not just dressing up our rooms, it's enhancing what takes place in those rooms. Christian nurture, telling the old, old story of Jesus and his love in new ways to the next generation. You're going to receive a mailing this week that'll tell about the renovation project and the process and the timeline. Sandy and I are making a financial contribution to this. We hope that you'll join us in doing the very same, investing in our ministry of nurture to the glory of God. Amen and amen. God, it's all that simple. But it's all that hard, especially when you're talking about our wallets. But we offer everything that we have, O God, to serve your children to the best we can be, with the best that we have to offer in the best of surroundings. Now and always, to your glory. Amen.